Give me to drink.
How is it that our Jew asks drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans.
If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water.
So thou hast nothing to draw with. The well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?
Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life.
Sir, give me of this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw.
Go, call thy husband, and come hither.
I have no husband.
Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands.
Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. And ye say that it is in Jerusalem that men ought to worship.
Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, and salvation is of the Jews. And the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. For unto such hath God promised his Spirit, and they who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth.
I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. And when he has come, he will tell us all things.
I that speak unto thee am he.
Father, we give you thanks that we can not only hear your word, but see it. I pray, Father, as we begin this series, that we will be impacted by the truth of what you have to say to us. May it change us. May it cause us to be better worshipers. Not just worshipers, but better. May it touch our hearts as well as our minds and our emotions and our bodies. Help us, Father, to desire to become better worshipers, for that is what we will be doing. Thank you, Father, for your holy word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. How many of you have one of these with you this morning, a cell phone? Come on, let me see. Come on, raise your hands. Let's see. How many of you have a cell phone? Almost everybody. Anybody have two cell phones on them? Because some people do. Some people have two, a business phone and then a personal phone. How many times a day do you think you touch it? I'm not just talking about using it, but maybe touch it. You put it here, swiping it. Using it and all of that, how many times you think? Well, a research firm decided to track 100 users and to see how many times a day. The top 10% touch it 5,000 times. Everybody else, 2,000 times. And you're sitting here, you're saying, I don't think it's 2,000. They were shocked. They were shocked at how many times they did touch it. Again, whether you move it here, whether you move it there, as well as swiping it and everything else. Everyone else, 2,000 times. They didn't believe the number of times that they touched their cell phones. Let's say that this research firm were able to track how many times we touch God. Would we be shocked? Would we be shocked? Would it come close to 3 times a day? If we're touching the cell phone 2,000, some 5,000, would it come close to 3 times a day? The series we're starting today is on worship. I hope to challenge you. I hope to inform you. I hope to change all of us in becoming better worshipers. Worship is used today in a number of ways. Hello? God. Well, we tried to worship this morning. I'm not sure how successful we were, but I know I gave my best, and many people gave their what? You want us to worship in spirit and truth. It just so happens, Lord, as you know already, that's the sermon today. And I'm going to give it my best shot. I may not say everything you want me to say. I'm going to give it my best shot. Would you please anoint me and fill me with your Holy Spirit today with that? He hung up on me. I don't know what that means. Worship is used in many ways today by Christians. There's the worship service. There's the worship team. There's the worship leader. There's the worship set, the worship center. All of these things, however, does not mean the worship is going on. That does not mean they define worship. For some, by the way, turn this sheet over, take some notes. Hopefully you want to take a lot of notes this morning. You want to take a lot of notes this morning. I got carried away already. I take a lot of notes. I believe we are created to worship God. All of us are. Eventually, that will be, if we're a Christian, what we will be doing. For some, worship... Help me, Tom. For some, worship is singing. And it can be. For others... Worship is lifting up the hands, and that certainly is part of it. For others, it is praising or shout to the Lord. For still others, it is clap your hands, all you people. Psalm 47, verse 1. Clap your hands. It is scriptural. The Jews did it. The Jews also raised their hands. For some, worship is dancing. For still others... It is saying the Gloria Patri. It is praying the Lord's Prayer. It is doing all that. And we can do all of those things and still not worship God. Every part of that. You can have the right statement of faith and still not worship. When I worship, I like to have a sense and presence of God. But I believe that when you have a sense and presence of His God, that's not the end of worship. That is only the beginning of God getting our attention. Now that we can sense His presence, what will we do next? That we have that emotional warm fuzzy, as I like to call it. Because that's not the end result either, an emotional warm fuzzy. Christians tend to define worship based upon two things. This is not working, Tom. You're going to have to help me here. Traditions. and what is comfortable. Traditions. Again, for example, what you were raised in. Maybe you were raised in a certain denomination where you would never think of going like this or go like this. Others, what is comfortable? I'm not going to do that. I would never do that. I can remember once, many, many, many years ago, reading something that Eugene Peterson had written. Eugene Peterson, one of those great men of God, who written many commentaries, he was a Presbyterian pastor. And he said this to his fellow Presbyterians. He said, "We Presbyterians do not do this. We do not raise our hands." He said, "But if we did that in obedience, if we just raised our hands in obedience because that's how the Jews worship, do you think maybe perhaps we might then begin to feel like it? That even though we don't feel like it now, we might begin to feel like it because we do it out of obedience?" I can remember reading it going, wow. Wow. Worship and traditions. One day, a visitor came to a church. It was an old established church. And every time the pastor said something like, "God is good," the visitor would say, "Praise the Lord." When he would say, "Someday God is coming," man would say, "Praise the Lord." When the pastor again would say, "God has a plan for your life," the man said, "Praise the Lord." People started looking at him. One person tapped him on the back and said, "We don't praise the Lord in this church." But that's our traditions and our customs and what we're comfortable with. And sometimes our traditions and our customs and what we're used to can get in the way. The word worship is used 10 times in these verses. 10 times. If you go and you count them, you'll see 10 times the word worship is used. Every time it's used, it is proskuneo. Proskuneo. It is made up of two words. I'm just going to point. It is made up of two words. Pros, which means towards, and kuneo. Kuneo, which means to kiss. And it means to kiss the hand or feet, to bow down so as to show profound reverence, to prostrate oneself. To prostrate oneself. Most of the time in the New Testament, when the word worship is used, it is proskuneo. Almost always. And that's what it means. You have to get awfully close to kiss someone. You ever try kissing someone this far away? You ever try kissing someone 150 yards away? Or maybe we go like this to the, "Here, Lord, this is for you." You have to get awfully close to worship our Lord. In our modern mindset today, we tend to overlook the importance of physically responding to God because it's just not something we're comfortable with. We don't like to respond physically to God. You ever hear of W.A. Criswell? Anybody? W.A. Criswell was a Baptist. He was born in the late 1800s, ministered all over the world. He was world famous. He had a huge church in Dallas. Huge church. And one day, he got, not mad, he got tired of watching his people worship. He had the power to do this because he was so famous. He told his deacons, he said, "I want kneelers installed on all the benches, so that kneelers are everywhere. So when people come next Sunday, there will be kneelers for them to kneel." Baptists don't kneel. He installed them so that when they came, he says, "I want you to know that we want to be using." I went, wow. When I read that, I was, wow, that's a sham wow. That's a sham wow. I thought, wow, that's big. That's big to break the denominational norm. To break the mold that we grow up in is big. It's big. Chris Tomlin, I like this. This is great. Good point. Chris Tomlin wrote many, many great songs, is writing many great songs. These are just some. How great is our God? Jesus Messiah, our God, I will rise, we fall. We do all of these and more. He said this, worship is where God isn't moved by the quality of our voice, but by the condition of our hearts. And so, we can be doing a great job up here. We can be having beautiful voices. You could be singing, but just because we're singing, just because lifting hands, just because doesn't mean that worship is taking place in us. What's happening here and what's happening here? Worship is a combination of our mind, our heart, our body working in response to who God is. And we see in these verses, and we saw and we heard that Jesus has a conversation with this woman at the well, Samaritan woman at the well. And he talks about two things, worshiping in truth and worshiping in spirit. Truth is at the heart of all worship. Truth is at the heart of all worship. If we say we're worshiping God, but yet we're not worshiping it according to what God says, I think then that God, Jesus, would want to have a conversation with us as he did with this woman. We see him talking about worship. What he does, he talks to her about worship, and then he leads her to himself. She becomes saved in talking about worship. We think at times, sometimes, that whenever we want to talk about the gospel to someone, we always have to say, you must be born again. And although that is great, we see that there are a number of ways that people can talk about the aspect of salvation. And here, Jesus is talking about worship and leads her to salvation by talking to her about that. He was a Jew. She was a Samaritan. Jews had nothing to do with Samaritans. And we've been talking a little bit about that every couple of weeks or so. Samaritans were half Jews. As a result, the Jews despised the Samaritans. A prayer of the Pharisee, I said this probably a couple months ago, a prayer of a Pharisee was, thank you, Lord, that I've not been born a Gentile, a woman, or a Samaritan. Jews did not think Samaritans had a place in heaven. And so Jesus, weary from his travels, sits down at the well of Jacob and asks the Samaritan woman for a drink. And she asks, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? Why are you even talking to me, she is saying. Why would you even want to speak to me because you're a Jew and I am a Samaritan? Let me share with you the number of the differences. They're both worshiping the same God, Jews and Samaritans. But let me share with you the differences. Samaritans worshiped at Mount Gerizim. The Jews worshiped in Jerusalem. Mount Gerizim was in Samaria. Of course, the temple was in Jerusalem. The Samaritans built their temple there in 400 BC. They rebuilt Solomon's temple. In fact, the temple during the time of Christ was Herod's temple, which was bigger and more beautiful, supposedly, than Solomon's temple. Samaritans believed Abraham sacrificed Isaac on Mount Gerizim. The Jews knew Abraham had actually sacrificed Isaac on Mount Moriah. Samaritans believed Moses entered the Promised Land, although Moses himself did not enter the Promised Land himself, but the Jews did enter the Promised Land on Mount Gerizim. The Jews entered Promised Land on Mount Ebal. The Samaritans used only the first five books of the Old Testament. The Jews used the entire Old Testament. So you can see there were many, many differences here between the way the Samaritans worshipped and the way the Jews worshipped. To this woman, the issue was, your way? Your way or my way? Your truth or my truth? Your traditions or my traditions? But Jesus said to her, you know not what you worship. We Jews worship in Jerusalem. How would you like to have Frank come up to you and say, what are you doing? You're not worshiping. You don't even know what you're doing worshiping. How many would punch Frank? I would never punch Frank. You ever see Frank go like this? Oh my, I mean, hit himself hard. You don't want to punch Frank. But imagine, can you imagine the shock on that woman's face when Jesus said, you don't know what you're worshiping. You have no idea what you're worshiping. It's not about your traditions, what you're comfortable with. We worship. You must worship in truth, spirit and in truth. Four truth facts about worship. One, truth is necessary to worship God. Truth is necessary to worship God. If we're going to worship God, it must be in His truth, not what we're comfortable with. Not what we've been raised just because our tradition, it makes us feel comfortable. God is spirit and His worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. Second, worship is a verb, isn't it? Worship is a verb. You know anything about verbs? Verbs denote action. Yes. So, whenever we worship God, we can't do this. I will worship you. I will lift your hand. Everything my hand. Worship is a verb. It denotes action. Worship is not something that happens to us. Worship is something that we do. We worship God. Third, worship is about God. It's not about us. It's about God. It's not about us. You can go home and say, you know what? I didn't care for the worship service today. You know, the songs, and they didn't play my favorite song. And then there's that song that Stephanie sang, and, you know, I didn't care for that one at all. I think I could sing it better. Worship is about God. It's not about us. Our worship must glorify God. It must. It must bring glory to God. Psalm 29 verse 2 says, give unto the Lord the glory due His name. And it is in two more other places, 1 Chronicles and Psalm 96. Therefore, it must be important to God. Give. Give. And it's talking about an action. Worship. Worship involves action. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. We must worship. We must worship in spirit also. We have to have the truth. And having the truth does not mean that we will worship in spirit. You can have the right doctrine. You can have the right statement of faith. You can recite scripture. Maybe you can recite the Gospel of Mark. But still, not really worship God as a result. We must worship in spirit. God is looking for worshipers. And we see that. We see that in verse 23. If you have this sheet, if you want to follow along as I read it. A time is coming, Jesus says to that Samaritan. A time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. It is the same must that we find you must be born again. We understand that so succinctly that you must be born again. Well, it's the same must. His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. It's been said, we worship our work, we work at our play, and we play at our worship. I think there's a lot of truth to that. We worship our work, work at our play, and play at our worship. Many, many, many years ago, when I was a young pastor, I'm not that old now. When I was a younger pastor, I like that one better. When I was a younger pastor, I read of a reporter, Christian reporter, going out among the people and saying with a microphone, "Who are you?" "I'm a teacher." "Who are you?" "I'm a pipe fitter." "Who are you?" "I work in a steel mill." And the reporter said, "No, I don't want to know what you do. I want to know who you are." He says, I'm John Smith." "No, I don't want to know your name. Who are you?" How would you answer that? Hopefully. But what would be our first response? We worship our work. We work at our play, especially in America. And then we kind of play around at worship. Which is worse, idol worship or idol worship? What do you think? Which one is worse, idol worship or idol worship? None of us would ever think of doing this. None of us would ever bow down to any kind of thing. But however, would we do this? Is this what happens to us? Well, you don't understand. The pastor was very boring today. This is both kinds of idol worship. It's idol worship, I-D-O-L, and it's I-D-L-E worship. We worship money. This is another kind. Idol worship. We hold sports above God today. It is I-D-O-L and it's I-D-L-E. Whenever we do that to set aside God, it is both kind. I heard an amen. It is both kinds. We don't realize, I have to tell you, we don't realize, I might get in trouble with this. Don't be mad at me. Don't be mad at me. You won't realize what is doing you're doing to your young children until they become older and then they don't want to go anymore to church. I'm telling you in advance that will happen. I've seen that many, many, many times. We were created to worship God. You can't read Scripture without seeing that truth. Every window we have, every window in Scripture that we have to heaven, every window of heaven that we have in Scripture, you know what they're doing? You know what we see? They're worshiping God. Every single window. Every time you come in Scripture and we see a bit of heaven, they're worshiping God. They're worshiping God. When I was first saved, I wasn't planning on saying this, just kind of popped in my head. When I was first saved, I did not want to be involved in the worship service. Just give me the word. Give me the word. I want the word. Give me the word. Give me the word. I didn't realize how important worship was. After a year or so, I started reading books on worship and praise. I was amazed how important worship was to God. I was amazed how many times the word worship is used and praise and the different meanings of the word praise in the Old Testament and the Psalms all along. We were created to worship God. And anything that we said above Him, I don't even want to think about that and what it means. To worship in spirit means at least two things. It means at least two things. One, it means worship must flow from the inside out. It's a small S in Scripture, not a capital S. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about all of who we are inside of us. Psalm 103, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." and all that is within me. Everything that's in me. I don't know if I've ever done that. There used to be a time that I would rack my brains thinking, what can I say before the worship time that would spur people on to worship Him more? I would spend several hours trying to think of something to say. I stopped doing that because I can't make people do it. It has to come from within. It has to come from within. It must spur up inside. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Second, it involves preparation of the heart. We must take some time. We take time maybe to practice the piano. We take time to practice a guitar, saxophone, violin. We take time to practice baseball. We take time to practice hockey. We take time to practice all the sports with our kids maybe every day. It involves a preparation of the heart. The Puritans used to have what they called the Saturday night vigil. I love this. The Saturday night vigil. It's been a long time since I talked about this. They had the Saturday night vigil, where Saturday night, they would go to worship on Sunday morning. Saturday night, they would do what they called stoking the fire of their heart. Like you get logs and you put it, what happens? You get logs and you stick them in the fireplace. The fire gets bigger, right? But they would stoke the fires of their heart so that when Sunday morning came and they went to church, they were ready to worship. I love hearing things like that. And that's what it takes. Moses in Exodus 33:13 says, "Teach me your ways so I may know you." This is what the Amplified Bible, how the Amplified Bible translates that verse. The Amplified Bible says, "If I have found favor in your sight, Lord, show me now your ways, that I may know you, progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with you, perceiving and recognizing and understanding more strongly and clearly all that you are, that I may find favor in your sight." That speaks of a man who has a hunger for God. He has a hunger for God. Do you know that you can experience God's grace without experiencing His presence? We can be saved people, and as I said, yet not worship Him. We can sing songs, we can even stand. Do you know that you can know facts, figures, dates, times, and still not worship God? You can say creeds. You can repeat creeds. As I said, the Gloria Patri and so many other denominational things and still not be involved in the worship of God. There's a story. There's a story of a man who had a dream. He had a dream that an angel took him to a church. And that when they came to the church, it was in the middle of a worship service. And they were in the back. The angel and the man were in the back of the church. And he looked and he saw the piano player playing, but he didn't hear anything. He saw the saxophone player pushing keys, but nothing. The guitar player going like this, but no sound was coming out. They began to open their mouths like they were singing, but couldn't hear anything. The congregation was joining them and singing with them also, but no sound could be heard. And so the man asked the angel, "What does this mean? What is this all about?" And the angel said, "This is how God looks at our worship at times. They're going about it, but their heart is not in it." That's worshiping in spirit. That's worshiping in spirit. When our hearts and our minds and our bodies are involved in it. This is a series on worship. I told you from the beginning, I want to change the way we think, the way we view worship. Our customs and traditions can hold us back. This is from Psalm 63. Read silently, Read silently as I read out loud. O God, you are my God. Earnestly, earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. Pastor Stephen wrote a song based on this. We probably should have sung this tonight. A good song, too. It speaks. That's where my heart is. As I mentioned to you several times, you know, my father was a singer. I grew up singing. Did a lot of singing at one point. When I became a Christian, I did not want to do any singing at all. I did not want that to get in the way. I didn't want to transfer that into this. I would not sing in church for over 2 years because I just wanted more of him. I didn't want my singing to get in the way of him. I led worship Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I would spend about 4 hours Saturday morning thinking of things possibly I might say during that time to lead people in worship. Worship is very important to me. You are so blessed that you have a wonderful worship leader and a wonderful worship band. When people come here for the first time, one of the first things I hear is, boy, the music is great. What happens after a while, I think, we get used to it. We don't even realize how really wonderful and blessed we are to have such a worship team as this. And the same thing can happen to us inside when we know that we should be worshiping God and involving my heart and my mind and my body, is that we can kind of like mail it in. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to go home, take a look at these things, and say, Lord, am I honoring you with my mind and my heart? Am I worshiping you in spirit and truth? Am I customs traditions in the way? Am I worshiping you in a way I feel comfortable with? I'm not trying to do this to you, but I am trying to show you what God is saying and what Jesus is teaching. And I think in America today, we can get caught up in fads and all of these other kinds of things. And there are some things going on today that I'm not happy with. I don't know if Jesus would be happy with. But I do know that he wants more to capture our hearts and our minds. Amen. Take some time as we get ready to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Have the Holy Spirit shine on your heart. If we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So says your holy word. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Will the elders and ushers come forward, please? At this time, I have you recite with me 1 Corinthians 11. Not today. Father, we thank you that you sent your one and only Son to die on the cross, that his body was beaten for us. For that, Lord, we give you thanks. We know that the Jews had a law that someone being beaten with a whip could only receive 39 lashes. The Romans had no such law. When it says, by his stripes we were healed, that word stripes in Scripture means it was one huge bruise all over his back that you couldn't even tell one from the other. He was so beaten. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son to give of himself freely for us. May that be the desire of all of our hearts. The elders will be up here to pray with you for any need you may have. Pastor Stephen will be over here to my right, to your left. If you have never taken hold of Christ in your life, maybe you think because you were baptized, maybe you think because you said this or did that, maybe you think because this happened to you, but you're not sure. He would love to share the gospel message with you so that you can be sure. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. I write these things so that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know that you have eternal life. Please don't leave here today if you're not sure. Would you dismiss us, Pastor Steve?
Dear Father, we pray that we will thirst for you more, just like Psalm 63 says, that we will long for you in a dry and weary land, which this world can be, Lord. We pray that we will thirst for you, that we will seek you. We know that if we seek you, you will be found by us, Lord. We thank you for this time of worship and to learn about worship, Lord. And we pray that we can truly worship you in spirit and truth, Lord. We thank you for this time and ask a blessing on everyone here. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.